right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we take you towards Monday Night Football, and tonight are the Colts on Monday Night Football, so we do things a little bit differently when that's the case. We'll be with you until 7:30. Tonight, and so bailing out a little early so that we can turn it over to the full 1 hour Colts Network pregame. That'll involve Bob Lamy, of course, and the Colts broadcast of Monday Night Football. So again, that'll take over around 7:30 tonight. But we're with you until then, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. We'll preview the Colts at Tennessee tonight and all the news and notes of that. Jack Muhort put on IR, so another injury on the offensive line, exactly what the Colts needed. So that's fantastic for tonight and going forward. What else happened? Well, the Hoosiers happened this weekend. They brought Michigan to town and brought them in on their homecoming, which usually where everybody else's homecoming. I don't know how you get Michigan in on that, but whatever. Illinois wasn't available yet. So Michigan comes to town, and the game goes to overtime. 27-20, it was a tight game all the way around, a defensive battle and some clutch plays here and there. But otherwise, if you like defense, it was a lot of fun to watch. And if you like offense, maybe you got a little bored. But a good game to watch. Unfortunately, the Hoosiers come up on the wrong end of the equation when it's all said and done. Peyton Ramsey played almost every snap. He did have to leave for a couple with a knee injury that he ended up getting a brace on his knee and coming back and looked just fine afterwards. Did have to come out for a short time, but there was no, you know, the offense has stalled. Let's go to Richard Lego decision that was ever made. So it was Peyton Ramsey all the way. And at the end of the day, got the last 10 points due to, in part, some help from special teams and Jay Sean Harris, but also from the defense, who kept Michigan off the board for the better part of about 45 minutes almost until overtime. So lots to talk about there tonight as the Hoosiers went toe-to-toe. Again, 812-333-2665 is our phone number. It was a good Michigan defense. We knew that coming in. I mean, really, really good. So looking at the production from the offense, Glass, I mean, it's not surprising that the offense would struggle against this defense. It's not just a quarterback situation. It's not just an offensive line situation. It's not just any one situation. It's a really good defense to play. And so you got to be on the ball. And more importantly, when you flip it to the other side and you see your good defense playing against a mediocre Michigan offense that's been struggling, you say, you know what, on our offensive side, let's just not do anything really, really stupid against this really good defense. Take our chances when we get them. And we'll give our defense a chance to also keep us in this game. And so for that was kind of the way both sides really seemed to take this game and apply it to this, you know, and it worked out for both of them because at the end of the day, they're in overtime.
Yep, and not a lot of yards to talk about until there were a lot of yards to talk about. And Indiana's defense, again, Tom Allen wasn't pleased today because he had some guys he thought he didn't name names. He said he talked about it in the locker room and film that guys that usually don't play to that level didn't play up to their expected level, and he was not real happy about that, but he knows, you know, their kids are not going to be perfect every time out. So the Hoosiers did enough in the resiliency department, I really think, to give some fans look-sees. And what I mean by that is we've seen the Indiana-Michigan dance here at Memorial Stadium a couple times over the last 6 years or so. And the shoe has always been on the other foot where the better team, quote-unquote, ranked team, whatever you want to call them, comes back and runs down Indiana, catches them, passes them, right, and then goes right on to win. This year, against a team that gave up 0 fourth-quarter points all season long, Indiana gets 10 in the last less than 4 minutes to force overtime. Griffin Oaks, it's a monstrous kick. And they get into overtime. So to me, down 13-0, down 20-10 when the air went out of the stadium on that 59-yard run by Higdon, for Indiana to pull up their bootstraps and find a way to get back into that game, that's something new, Dave. That's something that we haven't seen. Usually Indiana, we've seen the great Ohio State down, what, 25 points, whatever, and you kick and you come back and you get close and you get a bad and you get a bad onside kick call in that game, interestingly enough, that didn't go your way. But Indiana found a way to come back, and I don't think this offense is anywhere near their what they want or expect or hope to be, but they found a way to get 10 points late on a defense that just doesn't give up points. Mm-hmm. and found a way to claw, scratch, and fight to get back into it. So whereas the final result wasn't anything that anybody wanted, this wasn't a situation where you're like, you have a 13-point lead with 6 minutes left at home, and you have the ball, and how do you screw that? Well, this is different. And I think that was one of my main takeaways there is – it wasn't going really well for the offense. You could name the two drives that were decent for the field goal and the touchdown.
Yep.
And you think with 20-10, with however many minutes left to go in that game, what, 6-7? Mm-hmm. What it was, 7:39 or something like that, and you're scratching your head going, how are you going to get 10 points to tie this game? And lo and behold, they found a way to do it. So even on their defenses, I wouldn't say their best day. They gave up too many big plays here and there that again, good teams are going to find at some point. They didn't tackle well. I guess that would be the biggest issue, probably the thing you heard over and over again. But they found a way to get it into overtime, and that's something. And I know it's not good enough for a lot of people, and a lot of people think that since this is year, whatever this is, it should be happening. I get you. As Tom Allen pointed out accurately last week and in his postgame, Indiana's only won two of these in 51 years. Let's keep that in mind. But that's what makes it frustrating, because they did show a good enough effort for most of the – I don't think the effort's ever the problem with this team. That's not where I'm going with this.
Right.
They showed enough to win on not their best day. This wasn't a day where Peyton Ramsey was 25 of 30 with 320 and three touchdowns.
No, it wasn't pretty offensively.
It wasn't pretty at all, and they found a way to scrap, claw, and fight to stay in the game, get in the game, tie the game. That's a huge kick into the wind by Oaks. Let's not minimize that at all. That wind, that flag was snapping towards the direction he was kicking.
46 yards?
46 yards into the wind, and he makes that.
Yeah, it landed in the guy's, the breadbasket back behind it. It wasn't exactly blasted through. I mean, that's a long kick to begin with.
And that's how good the wind was.
I put a picture on Twitter earlier in the day, and the flag never changed. No, the flag was always big and wide, heading the other direction.
All day long. So that's the interesting part. And this is where you'd hope and wish and whatever else that they could find some more offense. But when you talk about offense against Michigan, that's a whole different animal. And Buck Sewer mentioned this on our broadcast. He said, they list these guys at 6'1", 6'2". I was down on the field.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't know why. He goes, they're not anywhere near 6'1 or 6'2".
Which guys?
3, 73,
oh, yeah.
15. He said they're all 6'4", 6'5". Yeah. They're monsters. And that's
they're defenders.
They're defenders, they're just huge and they're fast.
Yeah.
And for Indiana not to have –
well, there's another question there, because you mentioned some of the numbers.
Yeah.
The entire first set of numbers on the Michigan list go all the way down to about 20, because they have three or four different numbers all the way along. Four different threes. Different fours.
A couple 22s on each side of the ball.
It's ridiculous.
But the point is, they've got enough athletes that also are ridiculous, and you saw that throughout the game as well. So getting your offense rolling in Peyton Ramsey's second start against Michigan, we didn't sit here last week and tell you we thought that was going to be the highlight of the game. It wasn't. Indiana's defense needed to come to play. Indiana's defense needed to make big plays that shifted the field. That didn't happen. I think Coach Allen told us today, he thought three really good chances at interceptions, one that was taken away on a very questionable call, Rashard Fant's pass interference.
Yeah.
Little bitty jersey tug when two guys are holding each other all the way down the field.
They had one taken away for the same thing.
The other one, Jonathan Crawford, had a diving one that wasn't easy, but it hit them both and hit both his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Covington, that was the toughest one of the bunch, but those are plays against a team like Michigan. You don't have to. But if you do, your life is much, much easier, and momentum changes in fields.
You're going to have a hard time winning if you don't make
some of those big plays. Still got to overtime without those plays being made. So if you want to find the diamond in the rough, they didn't create a ton of turnovers. They didn't move it offensively.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things they didn't do up to their standards, and still were 20-20 with an overtime period to play.
The scenario, and I think this is important, the scenario that you come from 10 down in the second half of the fourth quarter, no matter how it happens, is something that not a lot of people expected, not against that defense. Now,
in a 48-48 game, that happens, not in a game like this.
Of course, that has to do with Jayshon Harris.
Absolutely.
And by the way, for the first time all day, where the special teams gave you something. All right, they didn't give you anything all day long outside of Griffin Oaks. They didn't give you any returns in field position on the kickoffs. They didn't give you much in the way of anything in punt returns all day long. They gave you that, and that was the absolute best timing possible.
Yep.
And not to mention, it got you inside the 20. And that was the thing that late in the game, the second half of the game, the Indiana offense desperately needed some kind of field position. Desperately. They were not getting it and needed it in a big way. Your second half starting position. Here's your starting positions for Indiana's drives. The first drive was a 36. Then they went the 12, the 15, the 15, the 32, the 25, the 32. So they were getting literally no field position. They finally got that one to start because of the big punt return that takes it down to the 20-yard line of Michigan. Indiana at that point, you know, you weren't sure they were going to be able to score. It certainly looked hard to do, but they managed to do it. You know, a couple great crossing routes certainly helped that out, a couple nice runs. But they desperately needed that field position change because they were just not able to get anything done. Of
and
all
they didn't
those,
get that
they scored,
on defense, like we mentioned.
Yeah, they scored one touchdown on the first drive of the second half. Then they went
great
five
drive.
Three and outs in a row. One, two, three, four, five. That's five or that's six. Two, four, that's five, and then a interception on the second place. They just couldn't get anything going. And again, that Michigan defense is fantastic.
Yes, they are.
So, I mean, this is not a, you know, the Indiana offense stinks and oh, woe is me for the rest of the year. There's questions, but, you know, that's the best defense in arguably in the nation that they're going up against in a lot of ways. So, a lot there. You know, they made a couple plays down the stretch and then couldn't get it done in overtime, but we'll talk more about that here in a minute. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Let's bring in Travis.
Hello, Travis.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good to hear from you. What's happening?
Well, I was wanting to say, and I don't want to dwell on it, but I just got to get it out there. I've got a few other things, if that's right. I've watched a ton of college football, been to many games, and I probably saw three of the worst calls I've ever seen all in one game. So enough for I just had to get that out. And then if we're first down on the 1 yard line, if we can't punch it in, we don't deserve to win.
Well, but, that happened. So, and then that was the result.
That's an old adage. Right. A lot of people go by that. So it's fair.
Beyond that, though, I'm excited to see how we have played. Now we got Michigan State, who, by the way they're playing and what I've seen, they're pretty tough. I think we can go up there and hang with them. I think it'll be a tough game for us to win. But we have played the best that the Big Ten has.
Amen.
And yes.
And we have fought with them.
No question. Well, no, we haven't. No, we got our butts. We got our butts kicked the first two. But I'm with you for this one.
Well, the end result, but we hung with them. I mean, we played them and we played them tough for a while. They just wore down. There's only one Ohio State, you know, there's only one Penn State, but when we get to Rutgers, Illinois, Maryland, and even Purdue, I think we're going to come out pretty good.
Certainly great matchups.
Yes.
And certainly much better matchups.
If you ask me, those four versus these four, I'll take
those
four.
No question about it.
And then, you know, Wisconsin being in there as well, that'll be another top 10 team. That'll be the fourth one of the year.
I think I posted on Twitter, we face five of the top 10 or 15 defenses in a certain, I can't remember, I think it's a success ratio or something to that effect, one of these advanced statistics or something like that. But the defenses this team faces in the first half of the season aren't incredible.
Seven games, four top 16 opponents. That's what Indiana's schedule started with. Tom Allen was asked that today. Travis said, well, what do you think? And he says, well, we never say, hey, we're going to lose these games and beer. He says, I don't practice that. I preach it completely different, so I'm not going to tell you that. He said, but with the amount of injuries we had, they've been very surprised at how many injuries they've had to key players, and there's been a few. We can rattle them off.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those guys still aren't playing. He said, you know what, this is not the worst place we can be. The win on the road against Virginia looks better and better each week. And with Indiana moving forward,
where else did you think they'd be right now? I mean, any fan, and Travis, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah,
we
good
appreciate
job, Travis.
Any fan, where better did you think this team
where
would be there 3-3
would
right
come
now?
From, right.
I mean,
exactly.
We knew the FIU thing was in there. But again, that aside, you figured that was going to be a win anyways.
The one thing that we...
Heck, if anything, you thought maybe 2-4 with the Virginia thing.
But I think a lot of people were optimistic with the Ohio State game as well, catching them week one. You never know how well-oiled they would be. And again, to Travis's point, they're in that game till they go, what, two touchdowns in 90 seconds and blow it completely open. In Indiana, as Tom Allen said.
No, I mean, they fought in that game.
Ran out of gas late, ran out of depth late. And those are issues that are facing Indiana. But it was interesting that, again, this goes back to my point about coming back from 10 points behind. You haven't seen a lot of that from Indiana. Indiana's been a good front runner and have hung on for dear life, and it's not always worked out, as we've known in some of those games, leading Ohio State at halftime or whatever the case would be. But you saw in this game what you didn't see against Penn State. You didn't go out and spot Michigan a bunch of field position. You didn't go out and spot them easy touchdowns, and they were right there.
Right.
So I could see why people are excited about it because, number one, you shut down the back for Penn State, Barkley, and you mm-hmm. made it difficult for at times for them. They did end up scoring, but at 28-0. That's what made things. Yeah, made the whole difference.
The defense did what it could have
done. You asked
the
question last week and said, what happens if this team gets down and Peyton Ramsey's behind center? Because we saw that at Penn State, and you didn't see anything in the second half, and he did. Blood, sweat, and tears, guts, knee brace, the whole nine
and
yards.
And a punt return. I mean, let's be fair. They produced nothing for all that amount of time. Peyton Ramsey didn't get him down to the 20-yard line.
Right.
All right. It took a punt return to get them down to the 20-yard line. Now, this team has that. It didn't show up for three quarters.
Down 13
to three and a half quarters.
13 to three.
It took all the way until that time. So, I mean, there's a legitimate question at one point when the offense was doing literally nothing and they kept throwing screen after draw after quarterback after quarterback sweep where it wasn't generating anything, where do you want to make a change right now? They stuck with Ramsey. I mean, this is their guy. I don't blame him at all for that.
Well,
he made a couple plays late. And on the drive that they were able to get the field goal, he made a couple plays on that drive, too. I mean, there's clear reasons why they like the kid and why they're going to stick with the kid. I get all that. And you know, that's fine right now. I have absolutely no idea if the offense couldn't have done anything else against this defense if Richard Leggo was in there. No idea.
Well, you'll never know, so there's no point in worrying about that.
But there were things out wide that never happened because of the limitation of Peyton Ramsey. I've talked about that a lot. He is not a throw it down the field. That's not his skill. So the passes that Richard Leggo hit all day long for Ohio State, which was the only reason we were in that game, because we couldn't run the football at all. Now, the defense was all right, but we couldn't run the football. So it was all tossing up to Hale and Simi Cobbs that game. That's all we had. That part of the game is gone without Richard Leggo. Now, it's Michigan. I don't want to get crazy about Peyton Ramsey not doing this or the offense not doing that because that defense is that good. They got in the end zone when they needed to get in the end zone.
Yeah, it was down pretty good drive.
Down the stretch when it was a three-point game, the defense gave up a 60-yard touchdown. If you're Michigan, you look at it and you say, that should have sealed the game right then and there.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all the fair points from looking at it from our
there
view.
There is, and the fair point is they're down 20-10 and found a way to get 10 points against a really good defense at the end of it.
I think
by hook, by crook, or whatever else.
Their
they did
fight
it.
Has never been questioned.
No.
And it shouldn't be. And this game is a perfect example of that. They're not always, talent-wise, going to be in the same ballpark. They fought awfully damn hard in this game, and it was frustrating sometimes for them. You could see it. But, at the end of the game, when they needed to make a couple plays, they found a way to make a couple plays.
They did. And then at the end of the game, they didn't find a couple ways to make a couple of plays because Michigan's defense already had 7 points in their back pocket. And that's an interesting – that, to me, is more interesting than the play calling at 4th-and-1. Your offense had just gone down, had just gotten a field goal, had just – the place is going absolutely bonkers. Is Tom Allen, because he's the defensive coordinator and that's his mantra of his team, his defense, putting his defense out there to put his defense out there?
Or in overtime?
Or do you send the offense right back out there because they had Michigan a little imbalanced, I don't want to say gassed. I don't think that's fair.
No.
But the point is, Coach Allen said in his press conference today, he said, I swore we were going to hold him to a field goal. That's what I felt was going to happen. He thought he had him well contained. He thought after getting the stop and getting the ball back.
For the most
on the punt
part, they
return,
did. I mean, they really did.
Getting the ball back. But the momentum they had to get to that spot, overcoming a 10-second runoff penalty from 28 down to 18.
That's the offense trying to shoot themselves in the foot a little.
Well, but that's the point.
Yeah.
The law of that rule is in good faith because you don't want to have teams automatically false start.
Yeah,
but if you watch that game in real time, he did not want to false start.
No, of course
he just
not.
Did.
Of course not.
So he's not doing it
exactly.
So they overcame that. They had no timeouts left. Peyton Ramsey has to chuck the ball out of bounds to get him the chance to the field goal. So you'd found a couple ways in there to get their attention, to get them moving around. And all that work and all everything else, basically – the way Indiana lost the game was the way they trailed. Higdon had a run where he, hit a gap, and guys didn't hit their gap responsibilities. Coach Allen called he didn't get the right fit. And what happens when you don't get the right fit? A guy goes basically untouched 59 yards, 53 yards, whatever it was. Big play.
Yeah, it was. And it was a big play around the end. It was a big play at that point. As far as picking which side, every coach in America goes on defense first because they want to know what they have to do on offense. You extend it to second overtime, and you could have found out.
Yep. But, or you could have gone for two and ended it. Or. But yeah, again, I mean, that's the or right now.
Your defense at that point needs to make a better stop, at least make it work.
Guy 3 yards in the backfield and scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
Tough.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Programming notes for you here. Again, we're with you until 7:30 tonight. That's a little short of normal, but we've got the Colts on Monday Night Football tonight, so we turn you over to the one-hour pregame on the Colts Radio Network with Bob Lamy. So 7:30 tonight, so another hour or so with us. Thursday night, we pick NFL back up. Kansas City is at Oakland. 8 o'clock is the kick time for that. And Friday night, we're back to high school football, and it is the playoffs. It is the postseason with South hosting Whiteland in the first round of the sectional. Bloomington North will have the week off as part of the draw in the five-team sectional. But Bloomington South this Friday night, 6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff for that game. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. We're talking IU football. They go down to Michigan 27-20 in overtime. Michigan scored on one play in overtime. The Hoosiers unable to match that. At the end of the game, they did get inside the five-yard line, but were unable to get it in the end zone on four plays. Before we address anything else, I want to talk about something that I have heard constantly since that game, and it drives me absolutely nuts. The calls. Oh, my God, the IU never gets the calls. There were a couple calls in that game that were questionable. There is no doubt about that. I will make, if you want to go through every one of them, we can make the argument as to why they got called the way they did. Yes, the referees, in my opinion, probably missed a couple of them. Michigan got called for 16 penalties for 140 yards. Their quarterback missed a wide open touchdown on a 50-yard touchdown when he tries to go deep down the field on play action in the third quarter and goes into double coverage and misses an underneath guy that would have run into the end zone all by himself. There was a whole bunch of stuff that Michigan did and got called for that negates two calls or three calls that you want to say made a huge difference. This is not a conspiracy theory loss for Indiana. They didn't make a couple plays down the stretch. They made a couple plays that got them in position, and they didn't make a couple that down the stretch that cost them. They stood toe-to-toe with this team. If you want to be taken seriously against the likes of Michigan, then you have to stop blaming and saying that you got screwed by the referees. You have to stop that. And frankly, in this game, if it becomes an issue that we have to continue to talk about, you 100% negate the fight that the team put out there to be in this game, to go to overtime. I mean, whether it came on a punt return or not, to give you some field position, to give you some help, the bottom line here is they did go toe-to-toe with this team. They didn't make a big mistake to get them out of it. Okay, you miss a block and a guy goes 50 yards. We had a couple touchdowns too. So this is not something where we somehow got screwed out of the game. On the other side of this, look at it. We went toe-to-toe with Michigan, one of the best defenses in the nation, scored 20 points on them, including 10 in the last 5 minutes of the game, which shouldn't ever happen to a defense that good. Let's be fair about that. So what this team did, I think you take away from it if you say, oh, we got screwed out of those couple calls. We got the ball back and scored 10 points after the onside kick thing didn't get called our way.
Yeah, the tough part about the onside kick would have been the field position and what maybe more you could have done with it instead of having
but
to
maybe
go,
we wouldn't have had it at the 20 later either.
But maybe you wouldn't have. That's exactly right. You would have had the ball, let's see if it goes 10 yards from the 35, recovered, whatever the math is there. And Simi Cobb's got it going down the sideline. Who knows? But the point was, then you had to go on defense and waste your timeouts. So you didn't have any timeouts. So, yeah, you can go through this, all these scenarios and knock your socks off, how it works. It's just when fans see a play happen and can't understand why it's called the way it is, when it doesn't meet the eye test, so to speak, I can understand why they're frustrated because all of a sudden the rules of a catch are on a fair kick rule. It's not a recovery rule.
I understand why people
it's
don't
a catch
like it.
Rule. It's whatever.
I've just heard 35 years worth of IU fans complain about how they don't get the breaks. And yeah, there's been some bad ones over the year. I mean, Anthony Carter up in Michigan, but this was not a game taken away by referees' bad calls.
No, it wasn't. But you would just like to think if that was the bad calls were made. No one's perfect, and you have a replay system, and you're still shaking your head after that. What's the replay system really doing?
Well, that's fair. Some of them are that tight.
Here's the problem.
It was inches. Was inches all day long.
And you've just nailed it on the head.
Inches.
Here's the problem. The game is officiated in real speed. Mm-hmm. Replay is adjudicated in frame-by-frame high definition.
And it makes the referees look stupid because they didn't see it in real speed.
So you should not referee.
World-class athletes.
You should not referee the game on instant replay in frame-by-frame HD.
Yeah.
You should run the play back the same way the official caught it. And if it's
and see if
you can't make it out after three looks, the call stands on the field. We don't take 45 minutes, and we get on with the game.
I mean, the calls that went against Indiana that people are talking the most about would have never even got a second look under that situation.
The point, Semi Cobb's would have been a recovery. Nobody in the world would have questioned it.
They didn't call it a recovery, though. Yep. They called it out.
There you go. There it is.
Yeah.
And you can't do pass it. But the point is, they're adjudicating the game in frame-by-frame HD. And not every camera on every college football game is in high definition.
Right.
Not every game has pylon cam.
Not everyone's perfect.
Not exactly everybody has a zip camera going over it. So you've got different rules for different games. That's college is trying to be pro, but they're amateur athletes. Don't forget that.
They're trying to get some of them right, and some of them don't meet the perfection
want. Some of the games aren't big enough to have the same equipment at all.
And some people see things differently than other people.
They do.
812-333-2665 is the phone number.
Let's hello, John.
John, what's happening, John?
You know, you guys just talked about cameras. I just got to thinking, how many points would Pete Maravich have scored if there had been a three-point line back when?
Trillion. Half a million.
I mean, it would be one of those like Roger Maris. You never reach that level, but
yeah, think about that. Maravich scored more than anybody without a 3-point line by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if the 3-point line, there would be a lot more. That's exactly even if it was a 30-foot 3-point line, he still would have had more.
Oh, absolutely. I would have lost any amount of money if you'd have told me that Michigan would have been flagged for that many penalties.
Yes, they were very sloppy. That was strange.
Yeah.
We are in there with a unproven young quarterback.
Right.
And you're taking Michigan to overtime. And what it all boils down to is, guys, you got a first down on the 1-yard line and you don't punch it in.
Yeah, here's what Mike DeBoard said today.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, Mike DeBoard was asked that today. He said, I wouldn't have done anything differently except have our guys execute our plays better. We need to coach them better so when those plays come up in those situations again, we can execute with them again. But the one thing you cannot do in practice is replicate Michigan's size, physicality, and speed.
I'm a coach's guy, but yeah, there's a couple plays down there in that series that you can certainly question.
Well, you know,
and I'll be surprised if he's not at the end of the day, but he's right. I mean, the execution in the running game was not good enough all day long, but it hasn't been all year long either. So that's not a surprise for this team right now. They're not executing their running game well enough. That's half the reason Peyton Ramsey's in there, by the way.
And he's half the running game.
Yeah.
Well, I always remember Lawrence Taylor being asked, what's the difference between a 4-5 outside linebacker and a 40-yard dash and a 4-8 outside linebacker, and he said about $12 million.
Yeah, that's about right. But John, I don't think your point's
and
wrong.
How about those athletes out there?
Because that's the angle. If everything was all fair across the board, and all I had to do was come down to coaching, and you see the coach with the khaki pants see his team give up 16 penalties for 150 yards, and maybe three or four more that didn't make the cut. That's an unbelievable number. But what Michigan didn't do, and what Indiana didn't do, here was the key. They had no takeaways. They never got Michigan off schedule. Michigan never had to get out of their game plan because they led the entire game. So give them credit for not turning the ball over. Give them – John, your phone's goofy. Give them credit for not turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. Their quarterback, who everybody said wasn't very good, did not throw the ball away and get intercepted, luckily, unluckily, whatever you want
to
call it.
They refocused their team on the run game. That was old school.
They ran in three running backs.
Three tight ends, fullback, I formation half the day. I mean, that was some old school football for Michigan.
It was. It looked like like the Pittsburgh Steelers playing Kansas City yesterday. Just hand the ball to Le'Veon Bell and let him do his work. But what happens with Indiana's defense is everybody has to play perfectly because they don't have those guys to come off the bench and spell them. You've heard Tom Allen talk about this from day one about the from the ones to the twos and that gap getting there.
I want to talk about that because – and this is not meant to disparage – the team, because again, you're in this game against arguably the best defense in America. And I'm going to stress that over and over, because when we talk about the offense, there's a lot of things the offense didn't do and didn't do well. And yet they scored 20 points in 60 minutes against the best defense in America. There has to be some tempering here. Michigan really is that good. Now Michigan shot themselves in the foot a lot, but Indiana did not by any stretch play a phenomenal game. They did not have to play their best in this game to be in this game. On offense, they could not run the ball. I can think of maybe two runs by Morgan Ellison, maybe three, that were anything to write home about. For the most part, Peyton Ramsey, there wasn't a heck of a lot there in the running game. They ran several of them, including called runs. And I'm sure part of it was, to have that extra option. They're certainly trying to outflank the defense. I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't run Peyton Ramsey. I get why they're doing it. That defense was just having none of it. And the blocking was not good enough. Peyton Ramsey got hit over and over and over. He had to go out of the game with a knee injury at one point in time because he got creamed on a blitz call.
What was their most successful offensive endeavors involve crossing routes, and you can't run those at the 1 yard line. So the offense that really struggled to play football.
They ran the ball on the first drive of the second half.
Yes, they did. 31-yard pop, but they also had a pass in there to Timmy and it went for 17 or 18.
They had
yards.
One pass that I recall, but they had two or three again down towards the goal line, including the touchdown run. So that was the one time they were able to do it. They were coming right out of the locker room, so I'm sure there was something they saw that they liked out of the locker room that they went right to. And then they went three and out six times.
Ellison had a 31-yard run. Yes. Timmy and I think caught a 17-yard pass down to the eight, and then the next play, Ellison scored on an 8-yard touchdown run. But the angle with Indiana's offense is when it wasn't that series, they seem to thrive when there is space and you can pull defenders out and pull defenders away. At the goal line, for me, there's not enough room to get those spaces where Peyton Ramsey can run up the middle.
You have to have the time. And see, there's the one thing.
But he didn't have the time in the middle of the field, which when guys would pull away, he would sneak in and try to grab a few yards.
But here's the thing you do have to give the offense a little bit of credit for.
It was a walk-all game.
I think they did a decent job at times on pass protection. And that's how you can allow those crossing routes, because it takes time. The whole point there is they've got safeties deep. And they've got guys one man almost all day long.
Yeah.
And then they've got guys blanketed all over your wide receivers. And I mean wide receivers. I mean all the way out on the outside. They are blanketed on those guys. So you keep everybody on the outside and deep, and you've got all that room in the middle of the field and across the field. And that is what they took advantage of. But you have to have just long enough not getting killed in the pocket for that to clear out and for Luke Timian or somebody else to outrun somebody. And outside of one pass I can think of, and that was the interception that got called back on a Michigan penalty, to Taser Mack. But outside of that one pass, I thought Peyton Ramsey was fantastic at where he put the ball on those crossing routes. Because Luke Timian and Wap Fillier and all these guys, when they're running those, they are literally running as fast as they humanly possibly can to get away from those guys just to create a couple extra yards. And so you've got to put it on their hands in front of them for that to be a play to be made.
Right.
And we talk about the skill of the ability to throw the deep ball that Richard Lego has that Peyton Ramsey doesn't. This is a skill that I think Peyton Ramsey's got in spades, and that is to make sure his guy's going to get it in the spot to stay full speed and make a play and be able to cut up field. And all day long, you're exactly right. That is the play that really hurt the Michigan defense.
It did, because it stretched the field and moved the chess pieces around a little bit. But at the 1 yard line, you only have 11 yards of space, and everybody's compressed into there. Uh-huh. And when you're on one hash mark and not the other, you can't use perhaps all of the field there.
If you're a one trick offense during the day,
well, that's what worked.
But it's got to be one that works at the goal line for you.
Exactly, and that's where it didn't work. So I think that's part of the issue. And if you can't line it up and run it against Michigan for a yard, you can't get in. Okay, I can see that, but I think Michigan's strength is their defensive line, and Indiana's strength perhaps is not their offensive line. We haven't sat here and talked about what a senior-laden group this is, how they've plowed holes for 100-yard backs all season long. Right. So that, I think what fans would like to have seen in that situation would be something more misdirectional, maybe to catch them out, maybe to to burn them, for lack of a better term, because sideline to sideline, they had all every guy on that team for Michigan's defense. That's not going
to
bother them.
I would have liked to see two plays there, not
quote-unquote
blown on something in their regular playbook. And I know you can't go too far outside your regular playbook, but second down, they put Jay Sean Harris in at slot. I don't think I've seen Jay Sean Harris in this year at slot, much of any.
Not much since his injury.
They put him in at slot and ran him in motion across the formation order to get him underneath a wide receiver in a stack situation. Simi Cobb's in the back of the end zone and him in the front of the end zone, and take your pick on the two. And he had one of them open. He could have thrown it quickly to Jay Sean Harris. He could have waited a half a count and got it to Simi Cobb's. Could it be knocked down by the defender? No, I mean, sure, it could have been. But, I mean, you had a choice right there. Second down is the play that could have been completed. And that was a play I don't recall seeing all day long.
But you know what?
That was a goal line play. You've seen that a lot of times in two-point conversions.
Play, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what that is. But I would like to see one or two more of those uniquer plays than the runs into the middle of the field. Not because it's just a run into the middle of the field, because that was the regular, pretty much normal stuff you run all day long.
The other part everybody forgets, that would have tied the game. You would have had to find another way to score from 25 more yards the next time.
Right away.
So this wasn't the last chance saloon where if Indiana scored, the game was over.
Right.
This was to get to an extra point, to make the extra point. Do you go for two? Do you not go for two? No one asked that today because you didn't get to that point. You know, you have to ask that question. But that was the deal.
Somebody should ask that question.
But I think the part of it that's interesting is you're talking about four plays from the one that you didn't get in to get you a tie.
Right.
You didn't lose the game. You just didn't get another opportunity to take the first shot at Michigan.
It stinks, but it's not egregious. I mean, it's the loss of a game, of course. But there wasn't anything so egregious in there that you go, what in the living hell?
No.
I mean, Morgan Ellison was able to run the ball a little bit, so it's not outrageous. Pulling it from the quarterback and having him run around the edge on a zone read wouldn't have been outrageous if he ran that.
That's normal offense for them.
Heck, one of them, he was probably one-on-one with a guy if he had done that. So,
sure, and he's already got a knee and a knee brace, and he's already
and they're still running sweeps with him.
6,000 hits throughout the day. I mean, Richard Lego in that situation, do you put him in the game for one down
jump
just to throw him out?
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's something you'll live and learn. Remember, if they would have scored, we would have talked about how great the play calling
was.
We
ran three straight jump balls to Simi Cobb's against Ohio State. Knock down, touchdown.
Right.
Because only one matters.
And only one matters. But the other part of that is they didn't come out and say, we executed everything great. This was awesome. This is exactly how we did it. That's not the case. They said, we need to coach it better. We need to work on it and practice better, because when the game was on the line, you cannot have poor execution or not up to perfect execution at the time.
Yeah.
And doing that against Michigan, that gives you some problems. Indiana struggled to execute against Southern Illinois in a goal line situation a few years ago. So it is what it is. What it is, it's frustrating because you knock. But again, the way Indiana came back against a team like this, where this isn't their MO. Their MO is lead, let the other team come
Has
back.
Has been, yeah.
Point out the comeback wins. Go ahead.
No, exactly.
We can sit here for a while. That's going to take us a while.
No, the other way around. You let Rutgers come back from 25.
Right. You let Rutgers come back from 25. You let Ohio State after three quarters. You led Michigan at three. Michigan State a couple years ago. You led after three quarters. And you can just go back and through it.
All right. I got one for you.
Okay,
just to throw it in.
Michigan State last year, right.
Down 10-0, 13-0.
10-0, I believe, at half.
Yeah.
And you made every bad play you could in the first half.
Yeah.
And you found a way to get back.
But your point is, it doesn't happen often with this team.
Right, right. And that's something new and interesting. The other good news from the press conference today was no new injury issues from the game. So if somebody played in the game on Saturday against Michigan, expect to see them at Michigan State.
Thomas went down a couple times.
But he played in the game against Michigan.
Andre Brown went down a couple times.
That's where I'm going with this. Yeah. That's what they told you. They said if you saw them in the game Saturday, they should be ready to go for this coming Saturday.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, something there
Peyton
happened.
Ramsey had a knee deal, they weren't worried about that.
Came back in pretty quick.
Right.
Yeah. Those are the three I can think
and
of.
It seemed, and the other part that you could read into was the guys you didn't see against Michigan that didn't play probably aren't going to be back this week either.
Gotcha.
They're more week-to-week than day-to-day.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. More IU football when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Just a reminder, we're with you until 7:30 tonight. Monday Night Football will take over from there, but it is the Colts broadcast, so the Colts Network tonight, starting at 7:30, so you get all the pregame of the Colts, and only the Colts. You don't have to listen to Tom Brady. Bob Lamy and the whole crew here coming up in just a little while. Kickoff around 8:30 for Monday Night Football, Colts at Titans. Talking IU football, Michigan came to town for homecoming and walked out with a victory in overtime, 27-20. And, you know, you and I have talked over the years about football. Individual play calls, I don't get too crazy about. It's fun sometimes. There's a couple in that scenario that I think I just would have liked to see a little bit more, I don't know, less of the normal offense, I guess is the only way to put it given the scenario. But you're exactly right. In overtime, down 7 points, you're going to have to find a way to hang on to the ball again and do it again unless you go for two and make it.
Yeah.
So you are going to have to do it again.
Or you are going to have to make a defensive play.
Right.
And stop everything and then kick a field goal if that was the case. But your defense hadn't made that play all day. You've been close.
Yeah.
And again, how many turnovers in the Penn State game?
None.
Yeah. How many in the Ohio State game? None.
Yeah.
How many in the Michigan game?
None.
Yeah. Well, I know everybody, and I think their defense is playing well, but they held Higdon to 25 carries, 200 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
That's why I'm saying the Indiana did not play an unbelievable game.
They didn't
get robbed by the refs, and that's how it worked. No, they didn't play their great game.
And when Tom Allen comes out today in his press conference and says, we have guys that usually don't play that way,
mm-hmm.
I think he's saying that to make the point that to his kids and those guys, we can't break through. You have to play at a certain level. You got by to a degree, and I'm guessing he's pointing out Scales because we didn't call Scales' name more than a handful of times.
There was a lot of missed tackles. Here's what Michigan did, and you have to accept this for Indiana fans because of how well the defense played last year and has played this year. Michigan walked in the door and said, we are going to line up straight ahead, out-physical you, and get old-school football, and you can't handle it, and they were right.
They had 18 3-and-outs at Indiana's defense.
They were
– or 8 3-and-outs, excuse me.
They were right. Now, Indiana's defense had moments. It had times. It had periods. It did not allow – in regulation, it was 20 points. So they were able to –
touchdowns, 2 field goals.
Yeah, they were able to get off the field in certain situations. Yep. Now, unfortunately, some of those situations, they had field position kind of flipped against the team while doing so, but they wouldn't allow a score or something to that effect. So it's not as though the defense was awful. It's just Michigan walked in the door and said, I don't care what your rushing offense or defense looks like. I don't care that you stop Saquon Barkley. I don't give a damn. We're still going to come right at you with 2-3 tight ends and a fullback and run it right down your throat. And they did.
Yep.
And they did. And they got off the field a couple times, but what you're talking about. They got out physicaled.
And that's different from what Ohio State runs offensively and different from what Penn State runs differently. One back, no tight end, 4 wide receivers, so you have to account for the entire field where Michigan
– Michigan doesn't even run that most of the time. They're obviously regrouping themselves here.
3 wide receivers was the most, and it wasn't more than a handful of times. So you knew it was coming, and that's fine because guess what? If you practice that 85% of your time, you should be really good at it. There shouldn't be another way to do it. They – block and run that scheme to control the clock, to let their defense win the ball game. And that, my friend, is the point to this game. Not once did Michigan trail. They ran everything they wanted, anytime they wanted, because they had hand. They were on top from the word go. They were on top of the scoreboard, 3-0, 6-0, 13-0, 13-3, 13-10, 20-10. They never had to get out of schedule or get uncomfortable as maybe you saw them against Michigan State. When they were down 14-10, all of a sudden they just couldn't hand off student body right, couldn't hand off student body left. They had to get down the field. They had to make plays, and that's where they got uncomfortable. So if you look at the grand scheme of things here, Indiana couldn't get an early lead to make them uncomfortable.
Right.
Their defense couldn't make that play to turn things uncomfortable to help the offense either get a short field or take the air out of a Michigan drive, whatever it was. And Michigan just had to do what? They could run this back. They could run Evans. They could run the kid from Joliet, 32. They had options because Indiana didn't put them under any pressure at any point in that game. So you go out there in overtime, They have the ball first. They score on their first play. Guess who's under pressure again?
Yep.
Indiana for 60 minutes. And you're right. They didn't break. They tied the game
right.
at 20.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about that. But to win these games, you cannot ask your defense on their best day,
mm-hmm.
your offense on their best day, to just trail continuously all day long and expect at the end all of a sudden to come together, and all of a sudden you kick down the door and scoring two consecutive possessions in overtime, which you scored done you did that once all day. That's what was up against it. And until you make those plays leading up to that, you want to put it all on the last four downs from the one. I don't think that's the right way to do it. That's me.
No, I mean, that's fair. The offense wasn't very good in the first half. I mean, it wasn't. It had a field goal. I mean, the special teams wasn't either. I'm going to talk about the special teams most of the day. You got a couple field goals out of it, including an important and clutch one on the last play of the game and into the wind from a long way away. That's fantastic. And the punt return was fantastic and obviously desperately needed. I mean, desperately needed. I think here is why. Well, there's a couple of reasons. I talked about it earlier. Here's why I don't want to hear about the calls in this game from the referee standpoint, because with the fact that the defense a lot of the day was getting the ball run down their throat and being out physical, missing tackles, with the fact that the offensive line was getting out physical most of the day, excellent Michigan defense. The 16 penalties for 140 yards by Michigan were a godsend, especially early in this game. It could have been a bigger hole earlier in this game. We got the benefit of it on a couple different situations. In overtime, hell, we may not have gotten inside the 25-yard line if not for the first play that was an interference that got you half the distance of the goal. I mean, you don't know at that point. Those are all things you have to keep in mind with this, and when you try to make that sort of argument. Did it all come down to the last four downs of the game? Well, I mean, obviously, but are they all big, huge failures by the coaches? No. Are they all huge failures by the staff, by the players? No. You didn't play well enough for the entire game to beat this good team. You played well enough to be in the game. You made some clutch plays here and there. Your defense got off the field a few times, but there was always something that said it's just not quite enough. And it's a lot like the couple plays that got called by Simi Cobb's involved, the out of bounds play,
both
and then the onside kick play. It was literally a matter of an inch on both of those types of plays. It was a matter of an inch. His foot's almost down in bounds before he catches that ball. It's an inch off the ground. On the other one, it's, I don't even know where they're calling on the onside kick, but clearly there's an inch one way or another on that one. Same thing all day long. It was kind of inches all day long that the Hoosiers just were not able to get that extra inch. And yet Michigan over and over did try to help them, very much tried to help them in some clutch spots. But
they did, and it didn't work itself out. So move on to Michigan State, obviously, and it's tough for the Hoosiers to handle. We know that.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number, but we will be with you till 7:30. So back after the break. Don't go anywhere. Dave and Glass with you in the zone.
This is News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370, WGCL Bloomington and WGCLradio.com.
All right, you're back in the red zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again. And some quick programming notes for you. Of course, we're with you until 7:30 tonight. That's a little short from normal, but it's a Colts Monday night football game. They are at Tennessee, so we'll be taking the full one-hour Colts pregame network broadcast along with the full game on the Colts network. So Bob Lamy pregame at 7:30. So just here at the bottom of the hour, you won't want to go anywhere. Later this week, Thursday night, we pick the NFL back up with Thursday night football. Kansas City is at Oakland. 8 o'clock is the start of the broadcast here on WGCL. Friday night, we return to high school football. It is the postseason, and South is drawn into the first week of the sectional play, hosting Whiteland. 6:30 Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock kickoff. If they were to win, they would go on next week to host Bloomington North. So that'd be another crosstown game, but they got to get past Whiteland first. On Saturday, we've got college football. 7 o'clock is the start of the broadcast for Michigan at Penn State. And on Sunday, Indianapolis is at Jacksonville, starting noon here on the Colts Radio Network. 812-333-2665 is our phone number.
And let's welcome in Robert. He wants to talk a little IU football here in hour number two. Robert, good afternoon. How are you?
You've been doing a great job. You've been doing a great job analyzing this football game. So I thought I'd throw something in there.
Good.
I don't know if you mentioned it or not, but I just think running that ball into the strong side of Michigan, you know, up the middle, is not going to produce. I know they only had a yard to go at one time, but then they ended up back on the 4-yard line. But I think they could have pitched out either or thrown the ball over there to Simi Cods toward the right end, the wide side of the field.
And let him go up and get it, right?
Or hand it off, faked it into the line, hand it off to Sean Harris, and he outruns everybody anyway. I'm sure he could have picked up a yard.
Like a fly sweep type deal. Yeah, I think something more misdirectional because
yeah,
I think your point, going power against power, their Michigan's power is really powerful.
Yeah, going up the middle of the line this doesn't produce too many results.
No, and I'm with
you
there.
They're trying to get a crease. They're trying to move them and crease in a hole and just get underneath them and score. That's a tough one.
There are two things this offense does not do right now, and that is, one, be physical in the run game, and two is throw a lot of deep jump balls. Now, I know from the 3-yard line, it's not a deep jump ball, but, you know, that's still, it's not something you see a lot out of Peyton Ramsey. Now, I would have given at least one shot to Simi Cobbs on a jump ball.
Because Cobbs can make the play.
Come on.
Ramsey doesn't have to make
the play.
Cobbs can.
Yeah, he's 6'4". If you pop it up in the air, he's 6'4". The one thing I will say, though, is if they ran the ball the way they did twice in that series, there are a lot of these run-pass options that become available with Peyton Ramsey that are not there with Richard Lego. So that is different than we've been seeing. It was not there under Nate Sudfeld.
No.
So we haven't seen that in Indiana's offense for a long time now.
Xander maybe a couple plays.
Xander, I'm sure, had some, although I'm not sure how many decisions they wanted him to make. But,
not many.
But this one involves run and pass. So it involves not only the dive, but also the keep, but also the throw. Those sorts of things depend 100% on a couple reads that he gets out there. So he may very well have gotten a read that looked favorable to running up the middle twice in that scenario. The problem still is our offensive line can't control even the 5- and 6-man fronts that Michigan were throwing at them. That's the issue right now with this offense still. That's one of the reasons Peyton Ramsey is quarterback, is to give them another option out of the pocket that Richard Lego didn't have
to account for
11. Rely on their offensive lines as much in certain situations. And that's oversimplifying to a degree, but that's one of the problems right now with the offense, is they're not getting great offensive line play.
And I think it goes back to what Coach DeBoard also told us today at media, was he didn't have a problem with the play calls, but he wasn't thrilled about the execution. When they went back and looked at that, they said, you know, these, we get why we were running these, but then you saw the breakdowns, and he said, hey, we've got to coach them better, and I've been talking about this as well. You got to coach them better. You've got to practice them better.
If you have a run-pass option, you've got a rookie quarterback who has to make that decision against the best defense in America, too. So, I mean, there is that consideration. That's one of the reasons I talked a week ago about, here is what you're getting with the new quarterback and what you're not getting.
Yep.
And what you're not getting is a guy that's played and been around for college football for 5 years. You're getting a guy who's been for a short time, there's going to be some mistakes.
And with him back there, Bob, good job on the call, buddy. Bob's always paying
attention.
Yeah,
we appreciate it, Bob.
And the mobility factor is something that if your line is not playing and 100% healthy and exactly where you want it to be, you can't let a guy sit back there and get 8 sacks. I think that was part of this decision moving forward as well. Think about this first three.
He wasn't doing what he does well enough. Right. Richard Lego, in the time that they gave him for him to scream that, hey, I won the job.
Exactly.
That was part of it to begin with. And then, yes.
Keeping plays alive.
The fact that you get more out of an offense that, frankly, most everybody in America is using nowadays. I mean, if you look at the SEC, everybody's got these RPOs all day long.
Yeah.
And then they run it constantly. I mean, that's Auburn's offense.
Well, and this also goes back to some injury issues. Mike Majette has not been healthy all year long until probably this game, which Majette gives you different options because it's not even close who their best pass receiving back is out of the backfield. Look at it this way. Guest and Devontae Williams did not play a down in the backfield on Saturday. Not one down.
Correct.
So that tells you who are their least perhaps physical backs?
Yeah.
Those two.
Yeah, Guest can be, but he fumbled last game.
He did.
In the game.
And
so
Williams fumbled last game at the goal line.
That's exactly right.
So there are reasons perhaps for it or not for it. But when you're running, again, just two backs against a physical defense like that all day, these are all the factors when you add up at the end. That's a tough nut to crack. It's not that Indiana had three guys run for 80 yards and pass for 200, and their defense got three turnovers, and their kicker made four field goals, and they only had two penalties, and that didn't happen.
No.
And that's the tough part, because it was anything but perfect, but the effort, the grit, whatever you want to call it, it was really good, and it just came up short. And remember, this is what you have to remember. That touchdown gets you an extra chance to play another overtime period.
Yeah.
That's it. Didn't win you the game.
Yeah, no,
so
you gotta
keep that in. Keep that in there. All right, let's go Colting. We don't have much time to
We've
go
We've got
here
some
today.
News and notes first off
Plenty
the bat.
Of Colts news.
Jack Muhort has been putting on an injured reserve. The idea here, we imagine, is that he'll be out for the year. But, I mean, technically, I think he can come back. But I don't know. He's out for quite a while, if not the entire year. LaRaven Clark is going to get a start on the offensive line. Your inactives are in. I wouldn't say there's a lot of shocks there.
Quincy be nice Wilson, to have Quincy Wilson back,
yeah,
right?
Quincy Wilson, the second rounder. They're saying he may be a healthy scratch here. I'm reading Stephen Holder here on Twitter, and
I have Zach Kiefer, so that's the other side.
Yeah,
so I'll take
he's
that.
He's making
side.
The argument
that
special teams is more important,
More
important, but important, and because Wilson isn't beating anybody out, and Hairston isn't beating anybody out. Hairston plays in a different spot and plays
special teams.
A couple other guys like T.J. Green play special teams, so they're going to let those guys stay.
So
on
you have the news on that side of the page. I've got different news that makes you itch a little bit. Terrell Basham is one of those rookies who are inactive tonight, and Ted Monachino said, if he were a dominant rusher, if he were a rare rusher, he'd be out there. He's not performing enough, and that's another third-round draft pick that, again, you want to keep your eyes on. Quincy Wilson was what round?
Second.
Okay, so there's two healthy scratch. Well, I don't know if Basham is scratched. I haven't gone back. He's
been playing.
First time Basham's been inactive.
Yeah, he's been playing.
And this
is
the first
time. There's no reason
to
believe he's hurt that I know of.
He's a healthy scratch tonight. So that's your second
round
pick, your third round pick. Jack Muhort was a second round pick. He's done for the season. He's struggled with a knee now for over a year, year and a half. Matt Hasselbeck on Andrew Luck on ESPN just now. He's not close in my mind. Matt Hasselbeck has been around Andrew Luck a lot more than other people. So when it rains, it pours. But when you throw that all up against the wall, the Colts are 2-3. And if they win tonight against a team they've beaten 11 straight times in 16 out of 17, they will be tied for first with Jacksonville.
And the real other side of the equation is that Marcus Mariota will be starting for Tennessee. So he is back from an injury and an exciting young player.
But the injury, and they
like to run the ball.
And the injury with Mariota is a hamstring.
Yeah.
So you never know if they've hurried to get him back. You know why they hurried to get him back? Because Matt Castle got sacked about 37 times last week against Miami. The line for the Tennessee Titans was blown to smithereens last week. They couldn't run the ball. Castle had 100 turnovers, couldn't do anything. So I'm guessing Mariota is not Marcus Mariota that we've seen torch defenses. I bet he is gutting this one out because it's a division game. It's at home. There are exceptions to the rules. If this is against the Rams in Los Angeles on a Sunday at 4 o'clock, I'm not sure Mariota plays this game because he practiced on Saturday, practiced a little bit on Friday. It's not like he's been full go the whole week. But when you talk about the Titans, what do you talk about? Rushing the football and getting after it. Two backs, two real pro-heavy backs.
Yeah.
And against a team that does what? Gives up a ton of yards passing and gives up a ton of points. And that's what the Colts are going to see tonight. And let's hope that Mariota isn't at 100%. That'll help things out.
Well, no question about that. Of course, for the Colts, it'd be nice. Well, first of all, let's start off with quarterback because, again, you know, the quarterback position has given up too much all year long in the way of plays to go the other direction. Jacoby Brissett, I can't say he's cut that down more than Scott Tolzien did, to be fair, because he's given up his own share. Maybe he's shown you a little bit that you like. I think that's fair, too. But can he go into a division group here and be relied on? And unfortunately, you can't rely on – this is going to come out wrong. You can't rely on Jacoby Brissett to win games for this Colts team all year long. He's not ready as a quarterback to lead an NFL team from what I've seen, week in and week out to wins. They've won two games against teams that have not won a game.
That's exactly right.
So let's not make this sound like he led to these big, huge, fantastic two crappy teams.
And conversely,
came into Lucas Oil Stadium, and we barely beat both of them.
And the Colts have given up the most points in the NFL playing two defeated teams. So if you want to put this on the defense and say it's their night to stop this rushing attack and get after it, the good news for the Colts, though, is their offense in Brissett might have some chance tonight. I would think I read today the Titans only have, 10 sacks in 5 games. They're not a huge pass rush, crazy type team. It's not bad, but what do the Colts not do? They don't get to the quarterback, it seems like. They make some interceptions here and there with Hooker in the backfield and whatever else. But when Jacoby Brissett goes on the road, and he's not playing a team with 0 wins, this is going to be an interesting test. Also, tonight's going to be a little cooler in Nashville. Obviously, it's not going to be 70 and in the dome.
Yep.
Great. So you throw all these factors in it. Hey, can Marlon Mack play 2 good games in a row?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
How much are you going to use him?
T.Y.'s had a nice couple games in a row.
Matt Jones is inactive at running back. So it's, it's there Mack, it's Gore, it's
there
Turbin.
There it is.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to have to figure out. So if the Colts offense can get the ball moving, their defense allows 31.8 and 400 yards of total offense.
The Colts offense or defense?
Defense.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
No.
It's not good at all.
It's not going to win a lot of games.
It isn't. And the game is not played in the history books either. Nobody on that Tennessee team cares how many times in a row they've lost.
Do we have to take a break before we're done?
We do not.
We do not. Okay. So we'll be with you until 7:30.
And again, we'll take you right into pregame coverage.
Yep, Bob Lamey. That's Bob Lamey and the Colts Radio Network down at the bottom of the hour. So don't go anywhere. The flip side of that is that one of the actives is, unsurprisingly, once again, quarterback, Andrew Luck. This is week 6.
Colts are 2-3.
So this is week 6.
Week 7? Week 6? Whatever it is, it's not good.
They're 2-3, right?
They have a bye week in there?
So, no.
Okay.
No, not yet, right? I don't believe so.
Yeah, it all runs together. College football, pro football. Indiana's had enough byes to throw me off for the rest of the year.
Everybody's 4-2 or whatever it is. So, yeah, 6. This is a game. This is week 6.
If everybody's 4-2, it can't be week 6.
Week 6.
Yeah, we're the last game. There you go. That makes sense.
Yep. The Browns are still 0-6. The Niners are still 0-6.
The Browns would be 0-6 if they had 2 bye weeks.
Yeah. Or they might win if they played us again.
And, we can laugh at the Browns for now because the Colts. There you go.
Yeah. We talked at the beginning of the season about a few different scenarios, but they were all with the clear bullcrap that we were being fed about Andrew Luck maybe missing a game or two.
Right.
Those scenarios, shockingly, haven't been revisited much in press that I've been reading, at least, and maybe I've been missing it. But and we haven't talked much about it either. We talked a little bit, I think, last week. But how you continue to keep him on the active roster for this entire time, you had to have some idea that he wouldn't be anywhere close through at least 6, 7, 8 weeks. Because as you mentioned, the quote from Matt Hasselbeck on Monday Night Countdown is that he's played with him, so he knows what he looks like when he's healthy. He's been to practice and watched the kid, and he's not even the same atmosphere of starting an NFL game.
Just because Matt Hasselbeck says it doesn't mean it's the absolute God's truth.
No, but we know he's not through 6 games.
No,
and
he's
we
not.
Know he's probably not in 7 games.
And I already told you what the reasons why I thought they would not do that, because number one, it would hurt ticket sales. Number one, it would hurt attendance. Number three, during this first 6 games, you've had Peyton Manning's big statue day, you've had Frank Gore's celebrations, you've had Reggie Wayne back in town, you've had all this other stuff going on, and they want people at the ballpark to do that. So if you dangle that carrot that Luck's going to be around or whatever, the other thing the carrot dangles is, only so far, but I don't think this is it, but other teams in some point, somebody's going to have to say, well, we've got to prepare for him this week. It could be the week this week. Now, I don't know if that was week 3. I don't know if that was week 4. I don't know what it was.
That is not how you make a decision at the beginning of the season when you have an option to put him away for 6 weeks or so.
The point would be, if he was not back tonight, why wasn't he on the 6-week list so you could have an extra player? I think that's an absolutely fair way to look at it, because the Colts, we just read you their defensive numbers. They could have had another player help this out.
The argument at the beginning of the season was the roster issue, but it was a roster issue as a quarterback too. Can you go find a quarterback? And there were names involved. I'll mention a couple of them.
Jay Cutler,
Colin Kaepernick. I mean, there's a few of them that were named out there. Are these names available, and would you want to bring them in? And the argument was, well, a week or two. I don't know. That's a lot of money. Yep. That's a guy who's going to want to play a lot. Why would he do that if it's only a week or two? Guess what? It's half the season, if not more, at this point in time. The bye is week 11. I don't think we'll see him before week 11 at this point.
And if Jacoby Brissett wins tonight, the Colts are tied for first.
And that's fine, and that's pure luck.
It could be.
Not Andrew Luck, but actual Luck at this point.
It could be. It's a product of the schedule. The Colts maybe didn't do it for the other reason, because they knew they had the worst or easiest schedule in the National Football League.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
And they're 2-3.
They saw what came up, and they saw what went on. And outside of the Rams, I think everything's gone according to Hoyle on that schedule. I don't think there's much surprise.
I think you would like to beat Arizona.
Well, you did. You had a 10-point lead.
You expect to win in
Seattle. You had the worst defense in the league. That has nothing to do with Andrew Luck.
Yeah, that's true.
You had a 13-3 lead 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and couldn't hold it off.
Right.
So that's another problem.
A different quarterback may have stopped it from getting away in the first quarter at Los Angeles.
Perhaps.
A different quarterback may not have thrown the interception in overtime.
Against Arizona.
That cost you against Arizona that were both losses.
Or your defense could have made a play and not let those games happen.
You could have,
way.
But the defense is what it is.
It goes back to what it's always three phases. It isn't one thing that fixes it or doesn't fix it. I don't know about the financial side of it, but bringing in Jay Cutler for two games that would have turned into six games, and then when Andrew Luck comes back, if it's week 10, you're still paying Cutler for the rest of the year. You're still taking a cap hit moving forward on that, because that's why teams just don't sign players. That's why Terrell Owens didn't get a job real quick. That's why Chad Johnson didn't get a job real quick.
I mean,
you can't bring in a guy for $6 million and cut him after two games.
You're not going to bring in Peyton Manning as a prime, but...
No, but you have to pay guys.
The problem is, the real problem is the ridiculousness that they went through to tell us that he's almost here.
If
it's all about ticket sales, it's even more ridiculous.
Well,
but I want to point this out here, because we've talked
salty
about
enough to think
we
that.
Have talked about the owner, and we've talked about the situation with the way this thing is run from time to time. And you know, look, I'm not going to tell you Chuck Pagano is the greatest thing in the world, but if he's got to sit through half the season with a roster spot gone because his quarterback is only on the active roster in order to sell tickets,
the worst in the league.
Then that's not helping your coach.
No, it's not. So, and the coach's defense and the new
is
general manager
always has been
has put that together. So. The two things you didn't hear about the Colts going into the season, number one, Andrew Luck would miss significant time. And number two, you heard there would be competition and players brought in on defense to get this thing figured out. Neither one have happened.
Yeah.
If you want to point directly at Chris Ballard, who said he was going to create competition on the defensive side of the ball and make guys fight for places that we're going to hit.
I mean, it hasn't turned around in a hurry.
We're going to hit,
sure.
We're going to hit in practice. We're going to get after it. It's going to be a different mindset. It's going to be a different this or that. You go back to the guys they draft. Your second round pick can't get on the field as a healthy scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Your third round pick can't get on the field as a healthy scratch.
Yep.
You will never hear me complain if these guys are 5, 6, or 7. You will never hear me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When you are drafted that high, expectation comes with it. Malik Hooker took forever to get here. He's made two interceptions. They give up 300 yards passing. It's the worst in the league. He is in the secondary that helps give up 300 yards passing.
Yeah, right.
So you take a number one draft pick to address a need of high concern,
you're
last in the league in passing.
Yeah, well, the whole secondary stinks right now.
I can't help you. Vontae Davis misses five games, and that doesn't help anything.
Mm-hmm.
You try to address the rush position through free agency and through the draft, and a guy can't put a jersey on because he's not good enough to play on your team. So I guess
at least on the defensive side, you had somebody that had the – fortitude, I suppose, to say this is going to take a little bit longer than a year.
Yeah,
I mean, at least somebody said that.
Right.
They didn't leave, you know, Robert Mathis on the team for the next
2 years. I think they said it mid-August when camp was ending.
In order to keep you salivating over something.
After seeing all this mishmash, try to put it together for a month, we've decided the revolution will not start now. It will not be televised.
At least somebody said
it.
At least somebody said it and didn't waste our time on Andrew Luck for 6 weeks. Or 8, or 10, or who knows how long at this point in time, because it's week 6 and he's not there. We all want him back. I mean, we all want him back yesterday.
Yep, and
he's not.
Andrew Luck, when he comes back, will be going through the same issues that a lot of people come back with. It's not going to be perfect week 1. It's not going to be perfect week 2. So what do? The good news is you go down to Tennessee tonight. You win a game perhaps you shouldn't win. If Marcus Mariota comes out of the game, you knock him out of the game, they get one-dimensional quickly. Matt Castle's going to stand back
there.
Can you do anything about it? That's an interesting point. So it would be nice to see the offense get out and make some noise, similarly to what they did against Cleveland, or even who else did they play really well? San Francisco, they didn't get off to a terrible start where you're out, and San Francisco comes back down 23-7 to get the game to overtime. So, or 23 to whatever that number was. It was a 14-point game.
The good news is the Titans give up almost as many points as we do.
They do, and their line was beaten up, but Miami's defense is a lot better than the Colts' defense, so I don't think you can read too much into that. But if there's an angle, you slow down the run, make them throw the football. against the worst pass defense in the league. So I'm having a hard time connecting the dots here.
But can they win? I mean, sure.
Yes, here's why they
because
can win.
Neither team
we
is
We sat here 2 weeks
beaters.
Ago. We sat here 2 weeks ago and laughed at Ben Roethlisberger for throwing five picks against Jacksonville. Jacksonville kicked their butt in Pittsburgh, 31-9. They go to the very next week, they go to the only team unbeaten, Chiefs Stadium, late afternoon game, very loud, impossible place to play. The Chiefs don't do anything. Pittsburgh wins the game.
Yeah.
So if you've got the NFL figured out, you're
New York
you're
Giants
lying.
Last night. New York Giants went to Denver.
Yeah. Knocked out their quarterback, played great defense, got a pick six. Yeah. Eli Manning threw for 120 yards, and they won comfortably. Go figure that out.
Yeah.
So if you think you've got the NFL figured out, that's where you get your hope from. The hope is each week is such a bizarre set of circumstances. There is no dominant team. Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone, so they're done. Yeah. Zeke Elliott's got five or six games. Who knows what's going to go on down there? Where do you point in the end? Tom Brady's lost at home twice this year. Twice.
That's right.
Where do you point and say, geez, where is this all going to happen? Where's it going to come from? Survive. Get the luck. If luck shows up in week 11 and you win four or five out of your last six, who knows?
And
what I don't know is what's going to happen when he gets here. I don't know that. But be in the hunt.
You got a chance. I appreciate your positivity.
Be in the hunt. You got a chance.
I appreciate your positivity.
Win on the road in your division. You got a chance.
And hopefully they win tonight. Again,
maybe.
That's coming up here in just a few minutes.
Maybe not.
Who knows?
But all you can do is win today or that's it. You can't get three wins tonight. You can't lose three games.
They follow this game up, and we'll have the broadcast next Sunday starting at noon, but the kickoff is one next Sunday against Jacksonville. Then they go to Cincinnati, who's not very good, and they go to the Texans. The issue with the Jags and the Texans coming up is that they score a lot more points than the Titans do. And their defense is not giving up as many points. So those are the differences. Those are for next week. Actually, the Texans give up some points, but that's the difference. So can you keep it a low scoring game? I think that's imperative because nothing about the Colts offense right now makes you think super high scoring.
T-Y.
So keep it low.
T-Y.
Keep it wide.
T-Y.
Oh yeah, we got to sell something.
Get 150 yards.
Hey folks, music means we got to head on out of here.
Fingers crossed. See you Monday.
Stick around. Again, we'll have Bob Lamy here in just a couple minutes, and we will be back with you Wednesday, 6 o'clock. You've been in the zone.